Want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a beautiful day, beautiful Lord's Day to be in the house of God. It's just beautiful. Cheers us up a little bit, I guess, having a beautiful day like this. But sometimes, even if it's raining or if it's not as pleasant a day outside, it's still a good day. If we are where God wants us to be. I've also been blessed to being here this morning. In fact, the devotional this morning goes along with what I was, or is an example of what I was going to talk about. Staying focused. Staying focused. Like on building that wall. Even with the mockery going on and stuff, they stayed focused on what they were wanting to accomplish, and they got it accomplished. They were focused. A lot of times when I think about focusing something, a telescope or binoculars, you can look through those, and sometimes the image is not clear, so you have to make an adjustment. And then everything comes clear. Everything comes into focus. You can clearly see what you want to look at. The dictionary says that the meaning of focus is the center of interest or activity, the state or quality of having visual definition, or paying particular attention to. Now, particular attention to. As we age, some of us are noticing that we're having a bit of a problem focusing on things. The letters aren't quite as clear anymore as they used to be, and it's sort of disconcerting. It's something we can't do anything about. It's just part of age. It's just the age process. Some of us start wearing glasses so that we can read better, which that's good. That's okay. And sometimes we do other things that will help us so that we can read better. But again, it's just an age process that we need to. Our focus point is further and further away from us. On that particular, there's other things sometimes that enter in why we can't read. Sometimes it's being nearsighted or something. But spiritually, how is our life spiritually? It should be the opposite of that. As we grow more and more spiritually, we should be able to remain more and more focused as we grow. One thing that sort of brought this subject to mind was since Sheila's passing, a lot of people have asked us, how are you doing? You know, how are you coping with this or whatever? And a lot of times my answer is that if we focus on what Sheila is experiencing rather than focusing on our pain and loss, life is so much easier. So much better. But then I got to thinking, you know, isn't that how life really is? If we focus more on others, more on what God wants us to do, our life is a lot easier. That's just the way life is. If we focus on the things that we're going through, if we focus on the pains that we feel, the struggles, the trials, then life becomes more difficult. It just is that way. So we need to focus more on others. We are put on this earth to serve our Lord and Master Jesus Christ and others. Because if we don't, our life will become difficult.
We are not
We're not on this earth to just serve ourselves. There's a lot going on in each one of our lives. There's different things that are trying to get our focus off of Jesus. And as Henry mentioned, just the name of Jesus will help us win many battles. So if we focus on Jesus, that will help us through so many things. When things are going good, we need to focus on Jesus. When we face trials and struggles and tribulations, things like that come into our lives, we need to focus on Jesus. Because our tendency, we're human enough, our tendency is to easily lose the focus. When problems come into our lives, you know, we think about that, and we're losing what we're here for, or our heartaches. We focus on our pain and our suffering. But at the same time, we know that God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So why are we struggling? We also know that that he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So why are we struggling? It's because we are not focusing where we need to. And because our focus is not on Jesus, our problems and our struggles seem much bigger. Our heartaches seem heavier. Our pain seems to be more than we can bear. And we feel there's nothing we can do. There's no way out. Sometimes we get to that point. But this morning, I want to tell you, put your focus on Jesus. And he will help you through your problems. He will solve our problems. He will ease our heartaches and soothe our pain and lift that burden. We need to focus on Jesus. I chose to read some in Matthew chapter 14. Part ways down. The first part is talking about John the Baptist, and we weren't going to talk about a lot about that. But it talks about a storm there. So when we are going through storms in life, we need to focus on Jesus. Our trials are to make us stronger. But we need to press on. Someone has said that when you're in a tug of war with your struggles, and it seems like your rope of faith is about to break, just reach beyond the break and hold on. Just reach a little farther beyond the break. And that brings us closer to Jesus. We can focus more on him. We need to be constantly in God's word. We need to be prayed up. We need to be constantly and consistently walking and talking in the Spirit. Because we can lose our focus so easily. We even let little things get us off track and cloud our minds. Especially when we lose our focus of Jesus, even small things will get us off track. Relationships will fail, families will split, there'll be church splits, there's just confusion going on. Even what that just start with little things. Even husbands and wives, if they allow little things to enter in, will tear their marriage apart. Talking of little things, even if sometimes just leaving the toilet seat up sometimes can get you into trouble. If the focus is not where it needs to be. we allow just the little things to cause irritation and to start tearing us apart. I was also made to think of animal trainers. Different, I think many of us, I don't know how many of us have been to a circus or whatever, but animal trainers, a lot of times they'll carry a stool, just a little four-legged stool that they'll carry with them. They'll have whips and possibly pistols or something like that, whatever. They've got other things. But I'm told that the stool, the little four-legged stool, is the most important tool that they have when they are training lions. It's not to stand on necessarily or whatever. But when the lion becomes a little more aggressive, they actually take the seat of the stool and thrust the legs towards the face of the lion. And the lion tries to focus on all four legs at the same time. And it sort of has a paralyzing effect to it, that it becomes disabled. Because by trying to focus on four different points at the same time, it's not possible. The attention is fragmented, and it's not possible to do that. So they don't know where to go. Now, how many times does life put a four-legged stool in our face? We can go to church and be inspired with a lion-like faith. We are ready. And then we leave, and life comes at us all over again. We start thinking about our job, our problems on our job, our money problems, maybe marriage or school problems, whatever. Things hit us again. That's that stool coming at us, trying to get our attention away from Jesus. And then our faith becomes weak. It becomes disabled. And we cannot focus. What we need to do is get our focus back on Jesus Christ. Have him the center of our lives. And let him take care of our problems. Okay, going into to Matthew 14 here. The first part is where there again the focus was on the wrong things there. Talks about how John the Baptist was killed. And then in verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by the ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals." And Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give them to eat." And he said, and they said unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. We see here that that Jesus had was preaching and healing the sick, and he was doing a lot of things there. The disciples were there; they were observing all of this. And when it was getting evening, I don't know, maybe the disciples were the ones that were actually getting hungry. The others were all focused on Jesus, what Jesus was doing. But the disciples were, they decided, you know, that we probably should send these people home so they can get something to eat and they can rest, whatever. But Jesus said, don't send them away. He said, he asked them evidently or whatever about food, and they said, well, they have five loaves and two fish. And another place, I think it says, but what is that amongst so many? They were focused on the problem of not having food. But Jesus just said, well, bring it to me. And he blessed it, and it multiplied, and he was able to feed, I don't know how many people were there. Well, we know there was 5,000 men, plus or besides women and children that were there yet. So there was thousands of people there. Jesus did a mighty miracle there. But the disciples were focused on the problem, not on the one that could take care of the problem. Then going on down in the next verses there, 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain again to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There again, we see that in less than 24 hours after Jesus had done the mighty work with the loaves and the fishes, we see that they again had their focus off of Jesus from where they had, it should have been. They were doubting again. Why is it that when God brings us through trials and problems and situations and tests, that we still find it hard to put our complete trust in him? I guess we're just human, but that seems to be just the situation. Another question, when was the last time that you went through a trial or a problem or a situation or a test that God did not bring you through? When was the last time that he left you in that situation, that he did not give you the strength to pull you through? Just something for each one of us to think about. We just need to stay focused on Jesus Christ. We also see here that the disciples were in a storm. The storms we face don't always come because we have done something wrong. Sometimes we can get to that mindset if we're not focused on Jesus like we should be. We think that maybe there's something that we did wrong. That's why we're having to go through these trials and these storms, whatever's coming our way. But the storms and trials that we experience come because God wants to make us stronger. And we have discovered that going through things as a death in the family, going through that, God's intention is for us to come through that stronger for having experienced that. Not to make us weak, not to get us off on something else, but it's to make us stronger. Going on down through verses 25 on down, we see that Peter had faith. Of course, they were afraid, and then when they found out that it was Jesus coming along, Peter said, "Well, hey, if it's you, bid me to come on the water." And Peter got himself ready, and he stepped out, and then he walked out on the water. To me, that would have been quite an experience. I think this is the only time we read about that. Seemed like if this would have happened to me, I probably would have been telling other people, "Hey, I walked on the water." But Peter didn't do that, I guess. Well, I don't know that he did. But anyhow, he's seen the waves coming. And because he did not focus on Jesus, as when he asked Jesus, "Ask me to come," he went and he started walking towards him. But then he lost his focus and started seeing other things. And then he started to sink. He said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus was right there and just stretched out his hand and caught him. So what we should learn from Peter is that if we keep our focus on Jesus, we don't have to worry about these storms that we're facing, that we are going through. We don't have to worry about that. Jesus will take care of that. It's also been said that there are two kinds of storms. There's storms of correction, when God wants to discipline us. He brings things into our lives to discipline us, to bring us back to Him, to make us stronger. Then there are also storms of perfection, when God wants to refine us, again, to make us stronger. And these storms could be in trials and struggles or whatever we're facing as we're going through life. But God has always got our best interest in mind when He allows these things or brings these things into our lives, so that we come out better for having gone through them. We often associate storms and rain with negativity. As we talked earlier, if it was raining and stuff, that somehow that has a tendency to dampen our mood at times. Just because it's raining or something. It's just natural for us. But we do realize that grass doesn't grow if it doesn't rain. Crops and vegetables won't grow if it doesn't rain. So this morning, without rain in our lives, we will not grow. We need to be willing to have rain come into our lives. Let's not let the circumstances of the storm mess up what God has designed to make us stronger. Let's let it rain in our lives. I have to think of Job, you know, the many things that he faced in his life. He had a lot of rain in his life, a lot of storms. He had a real good life. Everything seemed like everything was going his way. He was blessed. But you know, his focus was on God, even when things were going good. And then when the devil brought things into his life, God didn't bring that in because Job had done something wrong. God just, through that, I think Job just became stronger in his faith toward God. I always have to think of what would have happened if I would have went through what Job did. I mean, how strong could I have been? It's good for us to think about things like that at times, I think. But even through that, all that rain, the storms that Job had in his life, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What faith, what focus. There are going to be trials and struggles that we are going to overcome because it rained in our lives. Because it rained in our lives earlier, because we experienced these, we're going to be able to fight off more of these trials and struggles as they come into our lives if we remain focused on Jesus Christ like he wants us to. We know that Peter lost his focus and started to sink, and that's what will happen with us if we get our focus off of Jesus and allow these trials and struggles to overcome us. We will begin to sink because we have lost our focus on Jesus Christ. Let's remain focused on Jesus. I think that's all I have at this time. So let's kneel for a word of prayer.